Teach on Sunday, and our teaching was he has entered bodily into heaven. He has entered bodily into heaven, and we're citing this from Hebrews 10 verses 19 to 25. I believe this is online now for you to hear if you didn't hear it Sunday, because I can't go through everything that I shared, because I need to move on with this. But we were emphasizing how that Christ entered bodily into the presence of Almighty God, presenting himself, presenting the new humanity, the new way, and how we likewise now are presented through him. And that is why we can come boldly into his presence. As I say, all of that is online for you to hear. And we're going to continue with this today, because I want to look at the rest of the scriptures with regard to this, because this is very much about our confession. And we can only confess what we believe, and our believing must be based on experience, and the experience is a new life, the new birth in Christ Jesus. Otherwise, we cannot line our confession up with that experience. Some believe that this is simply confessing your confession with the Word of God. So in other words, you are confessing what you read, what you see. But it's actually a lot more than that. Because as we're going to open it up today, your heart, your mind, your spirit has to be involved with this confession. And this is what sorts it all out. Many religious people, even theologians, they can recite the Word of God, they can confess the Word of God, they could even preach the Word of God. But unless it is their experience, unless it is revealed to them, and that they are living it, this new life in Christ Jesus, it really comes to nothing. And that is what we're going to be emphasizing and looking at today. You see, the emphasis here is that he has opened up a new way. We looked at this last time, but this is a new way under the covenant. We no longer rely upon the high priest who once a year went into the holies of holies, which was the very presence of Almighty God. That is done away with now. Christ has dealt with this. The veil was rent in two, which is signifying his flesh. And we looked at his flesh. His flesh is his body, the new humanity raised up. He's the new creation. And he went into the very presence of God in the holies of holies, in the heavens of heavens. He revealed to the Father, "This is me. I've been raised up, a new humanity." That is why God has two natures, both divine and human. Whereas you have one nature, which it should be renewed in Jesus Christ. And there's the difference. But he's opened up this new way. And that is why we have boldness. Now, this word boldness means to have confidence to enter. So what its meaning is that this boldness that we have, this confidence that we have into his presence, which he has done for us. Remember, I said last time, when he entered into the very holies of holies, you were there in him. You always have been there with him. You are part of his seed that he's redeeming. So when he spoke on the words, those last words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," he spoke that over your life and my life. And that is why you entered also into the very presence of God. That is why the Apostle Paul says that we are seated with him in heavenly places. We're already there by faith. Our place in heaven with him is more permanent than your life in this world. You think your life is permanent in this world. We still get this idea that we're going to go on and live forever and so on. We're not. It's all passing away. The spiritual realm, the realm that you live with God and have lived with him in Christ Jesus, because he was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, is more real than what you see, what you feel, what you touch, even what you hear. That is why we worship God in spirit and in truth. That is why we walk by faith and not by sight. Because what we're entering into is more real, is greater, infinitely larger than this life, this world, this universe that your eye visually sees. I know that sounds mind-boggling, but that is the fact. So we have this boldness, this confidence then, to enter into this new way. And our confidence is on the basis because it is a new way. It is a new life, which I expounded on Sunday. This is why, for those who didn't hear this, you need to hear this. Because you will understand where I'm coming from. You see, under the old covenant, that would have been death for us, entering in to the holies of holies. We would have been struck down immediately dead by the very presence of God. That, brothers and sisters, is the new way. It's the new covenant in Christ Jesus. So let's remind ourselves what these verses say then, from 19 to 25. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So there we are. So this confidence, this boldness, it gives us a freedom of speech. Because this is what I said, we're now moving on to our confession. Now, when I say a freedom of speech, it doesn't mean that you're free to say what you want. That's not what we're referring to. It means that through the new birth, with Christ in you now, you have been freed, unshackled, to be able to speak God's word and confess his word. That is the freedom of speech that I'm on about. In other words, you are now illuminated by the revelation of God's word. He is teaching you his revelation, giving you the freedom to be able to harmonize your confession with the word of God. And that is where we get that Greek word, homologio, to agree with, to line up one's confession. But it doesn't only stop there. It also speaks of our actions, our way of living. It's also a mental knowledge as we hear the word of God. That is how our faith comes, because we have to hear with our brains, our minds, in order for our hearts to be affected and changed. So with this process going on through the new birth, therefore we have this boldness, this confidence. Why do we have that? Because we know that Christ has gone before as our high priest. So he says in verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We do that because verse 21 tells us, because we have a high priest over the house of God. He is now our high priest who has entered into the very presence, the very holy of holies of God, presenting you and I as well. So we have the assurance, the confidence that we will not be struck dead by the very presence of God, because we are covered by his presence, by the blood of Jesus. And that is why he always, the Father always sees us in Christ Jesus. And so in verse 22, it says then, let us draw near with a true heart. In other words, to draw near, come to God. We're coming to the throne of grace. We're approaching the very holy of holies as we come boldly into God's presence. This is why, brothers and sisters, I make so much about our meetings, our coming together. These are not just meetings. This is why you need to give yourself time to pray, to get your heart ready for the presence of God. We're coming into the holies of holies. That is where he is. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And that is done by boldness. Our meetings should always be in the nature and spirit and heart of boldness, confidence, as we come together in the unity and oneness of the Spirit. That is what it means. And that would explain at times why the Spirit doesn't move like he does. Because some are coming in any old how. And you can't do that. You can't do that. It says to let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Again, this full assurance is our boldness, our assurance. That is what gives us that to come into his presence. Now, we're talking of the nature of worship. So much of Christendom today wants praise. It's not such a sacrifice to praise God, because it's all plenty of noise, plenty of music, plenty of sound and everything. Anyone can do that. But worship is on another level. And very few today singers who sing for God, who have these music ministries, very few of them have that anointing for real worship. Most don't have it. That is why the anointing lacks. Why am I emphasizing this? Because it is the holies of holies where you meet a high priest. That is where he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And to experience that, we have to give ourselves time. We have to be in prayer. We have to be prayed up. We have to pray for these meetings. Pray as we come together in unity and oneness. Pray that the word may glorify God. That this word may go out. You know, we see people come into this room and they go. Could it be because we don't pray seriously enough that the Spirit of God will cause them to stay and to come regular? It's a point, it's a thought. Each of us have a responsibility. And if we don't want that responsibility, then we must not meet. Because we're dealing with the Holy of Holies. We're dealing with worship. What did Jesus say in John 4:24? John 4 and verse 24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He uses the word must. Now, when God says you must do this, this is virtually to obey. There is a reason for this, because you're dealing with the holies of holies. You're dealing with our high priest who sits in the very presence of God. Some sadly don't understand what it means to worship him in spirit and in truth. And this is what is being emphasized here. So we draw near to him. We come to the throne of grace. We're approaching the holiest of holies, and we do all of this in a true heart of faith, in full assurance of faith. In other words, I know I am entering God's presence. I have the assurance. I have the boldness. I am aware of his presence. My life is not the same. Do you have that experience when we come together? You should. The early church did. They did at Pentecost. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So it's not just boldly, but also spiritually. And that's why the heart has to remain upright and influenced by truth, by the word of God. And if we are receiving the pure word of God, then that's working within us that new and living way. That is working within us that boldness, that confidence to enter the holies of holies through Jesus, through the blood of the Lamb. But brothers and sisters, you cannot do this if you're in error, if you're in unbelief, if you're in continual sin, if there's unforgiveness in your heart, unbelief, hardness of heart, you can't do it. You see, faith is united to God. That's why faith is so important, because it's united to God. It's speaking of the entirety of man. When we speak of faith, it means your whole being, body, soul, spirit, is affected. It's not just your mind. This is why I always pray and ask God that the words that come out of my mouth will bring forth healing, deliverance, salvation. The whole gospel. Because it's our assurance of faith. And our assurance of faith is in what has been done. So when we read these verses 19 through to 21, that is our assurance. That has been done. It cannot be changed. That is what has been done in the courts of heaven. And I can choose to believe that or reject it. We have that choice. And so if we choose to believe it, then what Christ has done, now seated at the right hand of the Father, all power, authority, dominion given unto him, that influences my life. That changes my life. It changes my course of walk. It turns me around, changes me inside out and upside down. That is why we need to be a new creation, because we are influenced, we are persuaded by the word of God, by what he has done, because it's divinely revealed to us. God has illumined our minds to the revelation of his word. That's why most cannot understand the word, because their minds are not touched. Their minds are not illumined, because that is the gift of God. Salvation is a gift. And we have to be touched by him in order to understand this Bible. That is why most, even sadly a lot of theologians, read it, but they only understand it intellectually. In the flesh. This has to be understood in the spirit. That is why they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, as we read. And so our hearts then are affected. As it says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. A lot of the sprinkling of our hearts from the evil conscience, a lot of that is simply our unbelief. We still don't believe as we should. And it affects our heart. And that's why you cannot enter God's presence with an evil heart, a wrong conscience. We note that he uses the word conscience because all mankind has a conscience. And even the world out there know it's wrong to steal or murder. So there is that conscience. Our conscience as born again believers is infinitely much more sensitive, or should be. And if it's not, then it has to be washed. This is where we have to be honest and open with God. It's being aware that the blood of Christ has washed. He washes my mind, my conscience. And he does it with pure water. And what is that pure water? It's the Word of God. That is why I say so often, when we come to these meetings and we come together, oh yes, we've come to worship, we've come for fellowship with him and each other, but we've also come for a good washing. We've got to keep clean. And this is how he keeps us clean. When we come together under the anointing, the unction of the Spirit, through the anointed word, this is how he spiritually washes us, so that we can remain in his presence and in fellowship with him and each other. That world out there soon causes us to get grimed and dirty. And we have to come back and be washed, spiritually speaking. And the Word of God does that, as we receive it into our hearts by faith. And that is what it's referring to here. But you see, a lot of people these days have wrong consciences. Their consciences are being seared. They're resisting now in these last days, as we're seeing the falling away. The man's mind is becoming seared. He no longer is becoming God conscious. The mind is becoming reprobate. This is why we're seeing such appalling behavior out of society and young people. This is why mental issues are becoming more and more prevalent. We're seeing peculiar things, and people are doing strange things. We see it even in politics and leadership. Sadly, we're seeing insanity because the nation, the world, has become pagan, heathen. They no longer want to retain God in their hearts and minds. But man is paying a price for it. And so we need to be washed from that. We need the Word of God to keep us close from all of that, because the spirit of this age is very strong. It has a very strong magnetic force to it that so easily draws us away. And this is why our coming together and fellowship regular is so vital. Well, let's turn on to verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope or faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. as the scripture tells us. So in other words, what it means here, let us hold fast the confidence of our hope. It means don't abandon. Don't give it up. That's what it's actually meaning. Don't give it up because the one who has promised is faithful. And he has gone before. He has now entered into the very presence of Almighty God, seated at the right hand of the Father. He has given you and I access into the very presence, the very holies of holies, that was not possible under old covenant. So don't give up. He is there as the high priest, supplicating, praying on your behalf. He prays for you and for me. That is his ministry as a mediator. He's the one that is in between Almighty God and you. And thank God that he is, because God cannot look upon us, but he can only look upon us through his Son, Jesus Christ. So we don't abandon this. We don't give up because we have some trials and tribulations, or we go through a dry time, or it seems as though God is a million miles away. We're told that we must enter into the kingdom of God through much trial and tribulation. Each day is a trial. Life isn't easy, even for those out in the world. So why should we as Christians think that we're exempt from all of that? We are going to meet those challenges each day, but the difference for you and I is, to the world, we have Jesus. We don't go through it on our own. And that is the vast difference. And so we don't give up, we don't abandon, because Christ has accomplished the work at Calvary. He was faithful unto death. That's why we don't abandon this. You don't abandon it because you now have access into his very presence. Of his fullness we have received. You have the very life of Christ living in and through you. Each of us now have become those spiritual walking tabernacles. That is why we're to present ourselves, to present our bodies, Romans 12, 1 and 2, as a living sacrifice. For the reason is because God now lives in us. He loves through us. He speaks through us. His light is in us. Everything that he is, we are. That is why we decrease, that he increases. This is why he wants those empty vessels filled with the Spirit of God. So we don't give up. We don't abandon this because of what he's done. And God has redeemed a seed. And when he entered into the very presence of God and revealed himself as the new humanity, the glorified Son, we likewise are following as well. That is why I hold strongly to sonship, because Christ entered God's presence as a son. He had overcome, he had matured. He had come to that place, and that is what God is doing with you and I. He doesn't want babies. He wants us to grow and mature, to walk with him. And I believe that the remnant, the body of Christ, is maturing now in the faith, because the bride's making herself ready. The church is getting ready for marriage because the Lord is coming soon. That is another reason why we don't abandon our faith or give up. And we all feel like it sometimes, I know. And that's exactly, of course, what the enemy would want. But why am I emphasizing this to such a degree? Because of what Christ has done, he is now glorified, seated at the right hand of the Father. He cannot deny himself. He has done it. He's accomplished. That is his experience. And you draw from that. That's why. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. It doesn't matter how it looks, how you feel, what your day's been like. It doesn't change. It doesn't change the word of God. And that is the point. And God will always prove his faithfulness. After he's permitted and allowed you to go through that trial, you'll come forth purified as gold. Well, verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Now, I love this when you read this in the Greek, because it actually means let us excite one another. Let's get excited about all of this. And why? Because of what we've read there in verses 19 through to 21. In other words, it's exciting because we put it into action. This is active, this walk, not passive. If you're just sitting back and hoping everybody else is going to do it for you, you're going to be bitterly disappointed. It means to get excited, to encourage one another. It means that your love for Jesus, your commitment, your loyalty, your love for him and your love for the body also excites, encourages your brothers, your sisters. Very important. So that is what it's saying here. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And that's what we do. And it's all done in the love of Jesus. And that is the ruling force. If the love of Jesus is there, it will do it. If the love of Jesus is there, you know why you're there at that meeting. You know your purpose, your role, your ministry. Because love knows what to do. That's why. Then it goes on in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It simply means, in a few words, we meet together to keep it going. Now, either you have that in your heart or you don't. And if it's not really in your heart, then I question verses 19 to 21. You're not experiencing that boldness to enter in. Because this is what it produces. This is what we're reading now. This is what Christ has done in order for this to be produced in and through our lives. What does it say in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 to 13? Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 to 13. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. There we are. There's your problems. The heart starts to become hardened because of the deceitfulness of sin. In other words, sin is very subtle. It's slowly eating away behind the scenes. And you will know in time what that's doing, because you can no longer have that boldness, that access. You are no longer that bothered about meeting, coming together, exhorting, encouraging. It slowly eats away because the heart is getting harder. And this is why we preach faith, verse 12, because lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. This is why we preach faith so much, because it deals with your heart that can become evil. What is this evilness, this deceitfulness? Thinking that you are in faith when you are not. You're actually lying. This is why I always say you have to be honest before God. And if you're not in that place of faith, then you tell him. You call upon his mercy. He's given you that boldness to enter in, so that the blood will deal with you. The blood will deal with that unbelief until you come to that place. I'm not sure all still are understanding that one yet. So all of this, as we're looking at coming together, exhorting one another, as we see the day approaching, all of this is so that we are focused. It focuses us on the Lord. It enables us to keep free from error. It strengthens us, which we all need. It helps us to learn from each other. When we are seeing what God is doing through a sister or a brother, that I too can learn from. It's maturing us in the faith into sonship. And it's above all working so that our faith becomes stronger and stronger. That childlike faith. They are just some of the reasons why we do not forsake our assembling together in his presence. And we do that because he has opened up the way into the holies of holies through his blood, giving us a new and living way which he has consecrated for us. And through his flesh, he's presented his whole entire being, his body, the new creation, into the very presence of God, where God said, come and sit down with me at the right hand of the Father, until all his enemies become his footstool. And that is what he's doing. He is bringing down rebellion. He's bringing down all enemies, all corrupt governments, the sin of man, all of it he's bringing down. That is why, brothers and sisters, as I close now, you are in spiritual warfare. That is why so often we are led to come against the powers of darkness and to take authority over them. And that is part of our boldness as we enter into the holies of holies. The very fact that you pray and intercede, or you go into warfare, is a clear sign that you are being received. You are going into the very presence of God. Your prayers are uniting with the high priest, the intercessor, Jesus, because your spirit has picked up his prayers, his intercessions. Are you experiencing that? Sometimes we get a burden. Sometimes we just feel impressed to pray. Well, that's the Holy Spirit quickening you for that. That is on Jesus' heart. And he wants you to pray that through. Because he's given you now that access, that boldness. Remember, this boldness I showed you last time means to run. It's the idea of running into his presence. In other words, you're not hanging about. I'm not going to let anything get in the way of this. I'm walking and running as fast as I can into God's very presence. Because that is where you belong. It is where I belong. And you substitute that for anything else, and you are not walking the walk that God has for you. That is why we run to him. And even if we sin and fall short, we run to him. Because sin wants to hide. That is its nature. But we run to him because he has provided the blood. Well, there we are. He has entered bodily into heaven. I believe they're just some of the reasons why we come together, why we press on, why we endure to the end. Because I've given you just a glimpse of what he has done for us, and why our meetings, our gathering together, is so paramount, is so important. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Notice he says, you see the day approaching. He's not going to withhold it from you. You are going to discern. You are going to see. And you are seeing. And what we are seeing right now is the great falling away. That is happening before our very eyes. We are seeing these things. So that is also why it's so important we continue to come together. Heavenly Father, again you have spoken your word to us. You have encouraged us, Father. You are showing us that we enter boldly into your presence, into the very Holy of Holies. That is where true worship is, worshipping you in spirit and in truth. That is where the very presence of our Father is, and that is why we cry out, Abba, Father, because that is where you are. May none of us be left out of this through unbelief, sin, or hardness of heart. May the blood of Jesus ever continue to cleanse us, and the word of God continue to wash us, Father, so that we can come boldly into your presence as your royal priesthood. Father, we thank you for the way you are opening your word up to us in these last days. How our very hearts, our soul, our very being is stirred up by the Spirit of God. How you revive us, encourage us. We know that world out there is so depraved, is so sick. And it's so easy to get tainted by it, Father, drawn in by it. Oh, Father, we ask that you would place that hedge of protection around us. Keep us under the shadow of the Almighty. Be with our going out and our coming in. Give us the power and the strength to say no or to walk away. Help us, Father, not to sin with our lips. May we be those lights in these last days in darkness. That is why we know it's not by might nor by power, it can only be by your Spirit, says the Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you have consecrated us unto yourself as you consecrated yourself to that new and living way that we also enter into as well. We thank you, Father, that we will soon put off these bodies and put on that glorified eternal body where we will be with you throughout eternity. Oh Lord Jesus, we long for your presence. We long to be with you, Father. Help us, Lord, not to put our roots, our heart, our affection down in this world, because you've shown us we're simply sojourners passing through. Help us, Lord, to be more upward-looking, heavenly-minded. Help us to see more and more of the kingdom of God and what it pertains. Cause and help us to turn away and to look solely and completely unto you 24/7. That unbroken fellowship. I thank you, Father. And so, Lord, I pray you'll bless, preserve, and keep each of us until we assemble again. For this we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Behold the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and God shall wipe away all tears. Shall there be any more pain? For the former things are passed away. Behold, I make all things new. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and God shall